Merry Christmas to everyone. If you're watching online or you're listening online, thank you so much for inviting us in. We're so thankful that we get to do that. Next week, we're going to be sharing some stats about that. I can't believe how faithful God is through the streams he lets us be a part of. So today, we're going to get some participation here. Under your chair is a little something, just so you know, it'll make sense. Some of you have Christmas tree cakes. And if you see your neighbor doesn't have one, share it with them. I went ahead and put that under there. You need a sugar high today. If your neighbor, there's some like here on the front row we can share with someone if you would like a Christmas tree cake. But just FYI, today, there's a star. That's something from us to you. I love you. And I want you to know here at the Vine Church, we love you. But there are 5 points on a star. So today, we're actually going to have a 5-point message, okay? So just remember that with your star. You can put it under your chair. It's something to fiddle with if you would like. But I wanted to let you know so you don't forget that, because over these past few weeks we've been in this Star of Wonder series, okay? And now what we've been talking about is some of our favorite things about Christmas. And no, don't worry, I didn't sing Praise God, so that's why we have people here today. It's because I didn't sing. But one of the things that a lot of us love about Christmas are Christmas carols. And so each and every week we've been diving into a Christmas carol. And so we've had a couple of them. Hopefully, if we didn't hit yours, don't worry about it. We'll get to yours sooner or later at some point one day. We've got all of eternity. We're going to get there. But today we're going to be talking about the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. Joy to the World. And no, it doesn't start Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Even though you may get excited about that, you may know what's going on. I can tell how old I am by saying that. That's okay. It's all right. You can look, Google it. It's probably on Spotify. Do what you got to do. But when we're talking about Joy to the World, before we just sang about it here just a moment ago, but let's talk about what's happening there, because not only are we going to be talking through this song today, we're going to be celebrating communion, and there's a reason for that. We've been walking through different Christmas carols, and we talked about Isaiah being the prophet who talked the most about the Messiah that is to come. And 700 years before Jesus' birth, he said the Messiah will come, the Deliverer will come, the Light will come, the Prince of Peace will come, the Wonderful Counselor, he will come. He is on his way. And so everybody was waiting with eager anticipation for the Messiah to come. Well, the reason I'm sharing that is the Old Testament prophets would go and light candles at Christmas in hopes for the Messiah to come. Now, we know those candles being lit, if you're on the Protestant side of this, you know it as Advent. People light candles to celebrate the coming of Christ. Some of us sing Christmas carols with a little light, right? We do that sometimes on Christmas Eve. But it made me think about the light that we get to see, and it made me think about all of us, because many of us are going to light lights this year. Many of us are going to see the light, and we're going to get to be a part of the light. And so today, be a light to someone. You said Merry Christmas. If you want to be a light to someone, share a Christmas tree cake. Be a light to someone that you encounter today. So we said 700 years before Jesus came, the Old Testament prophets for 400 years didn't hear anything from God. We talked about last week how that little page between Malachi 4 and Matthew 1 represented 400 years. Like, wouldn't that be great if that was your bank account and you got 400 times just by flipping a page, 400 times what's in there? Unless it's zero, and then I'm sorry. It is what it is. You got to do what you got to do. We got to work on that. But 400 years of silence, and all of a sudden, the Christmas season is here, and the New Testament prophets now all of a sudden are looking on a fever pitch for this Messiah, looking on a fever pitch for the one that is to come, so much so they ask the guy we're going to talk a little bit about today, John the Baptist, hey, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that is supposed to come? And he says, no, it's not me. It's actually the one that's coming after me. And it made me think about so much being wrapped up in that little baby in a manger. There's just so much hope. There's just so much prophecy being fulfilled. There's so much freedom in that little baby. Now, if you have a child, I understand you probably don't think that. You've got dirty diapers and you've got crying and screaming at 3 a.m., but it makes me think of the miracle of parents right now. And I can't imagine what parents go through, especially at Christmas. I think you're more excited probably than your children are when it comes to Christmas, when it comes to that. And I can imagine that first Christmas as Mary and Joseph were that way. So let's talk about this hymn called, or this carol, excuse me, called Joy to the World. Now, we know, we just sang about it. We talk about joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. We talk about every heart preparing him room. And sometimes you got the little crazy apostrophe, which I think they're getting rid of for some reason. And heaven and nature sing. So let me tell you some info about this hymn or carol that you may not know. It had three collaborators. It had some collab. So it had more than one person coming together for it. So the first person that collaborated wrote a poem for this. As we've learned through every carol, there was a poem written that needed to be shared at church. And the first one was an English poet and Reformed clergyman, Isaac Watts. Now, 5 points, it's really crazy. Now, Reformed just means he's Calvinist. Don't worry, we're not going to walk through Tulip. If you know, you know. If not, it is what it is. We're not going to go through the 5 points of Calvinism today. But total depravity is what he was walking through. And believe it or not, when he wrote this poem, he wasn't in the Christmas story. He was in Psalm 98. Verse 4 through 9 was actually talking about Jesus' second coming that he was writing this song about. So before we go any further, believe it or not, Joy to the World talks more about Jesus' second coming than it does about his birth. It's crazy. We don't think about that. This carol is not something that we think should be normal. But after he wrote this poem, as they all did when they wrote these poems for these Christmas carols, they're like, I got to have a beat behind it. I've got to have some music behind it. There's got to be something to it that has to happen. So he goes to this guy. If you know anything about music history, you study music history. He's a very famous guy. But his name is George Frederick Handel. So Handel was a German-born composer that lived in London at the time. As a matter of fact, you know Handel. You may think you don't, but you're going to be really smart here. He wrote the oratorio, I believe is what it's called, but he wrote Messiah. If you know the Hallelujah chorus, Hallelujah. Yeah, that's Handel. That's the guy. He came and wrote that with, that's all I could do. That was all I had, y'all. So before you turn it off, that's all the singing I got. So he wrote and composed the music to go behind this Joy to the World poem. But it didn't stop there because it still wasn't complete. There was this guy all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, and he was a musician, and his name is Lowell Mason. And what he did is he created and sang through the round. So that's why when we sing, and heaven and nature sing, somebody comes behind you in a round over and over. And remember in school chorus, when the teachers were like frustrated with us and we needed to burn energy, they would just keep doing the round for like 30 minutes. You know, you just keep going around and around. Well, this guy arranged it all together. And so what ended up happening is this hymn that was written from an Old Testament psalm that really had not much at all to do with Christmas, then got this German-born composer living in London to come together and write the music for it, and all the way across the Atlantic it was arranged together. So three people seemingly in different places of the world brought this one work together. That's some crazy awesome characters, isn't it? That's some crazy awesome work of God. Like, it's crazy to me to think how this hymn came together, this carol came together out of nowhere. Yet, we sing at Silent Night's probably one of the top three. Joy to the World's probably up there in the top three, isn't it? It's one of the Christmas carols we sing all the time. So, if you ever want to win that barroom trivia contest or that trivia contest with Christmas, know that Joy to the World's not really, truly a Christmas carol. So, today, here's what I got for you. 5-point message today. We're going to be diving in and talking about this as it goes and pertains to Joy to the World. Because today, you see some folks are dressed as Christmas characters, or at least an attempt at it. And that's perfect. That's what I love. We've attempted to be some Christmas characters and some folks dressed as their favorite Christmas characters today. So today, I want to share with you 5 words of Christmas and the Christmas carols they were spoke, or the Christmas characters they were spoke through, okay? So we got 5. Now, I promise, I'm not going to be like normal where I spend 10 minutes on each point. Instead, I'm going to spend 20 minutes on each point. So I hope y'all got a few hours. Y'all ain't got shopping to do or anything, do you? Tough crowd. I need some too. So I promise it'll be a little different than normal. If you're used to my rhythm and my cadence of going at 3 points, we're going to have 5 today. So when you look at this star and you hang it on your tree later today, I want you to remember these 5 words of Christmas and these 5 characters of Christmas. So today we'll talk about why we dress as our favorite Christmas character as well. So if you got your Bible today, we're going to go to where you always go when it comes to the Christmas story. We're going to start in Luke 1 today. If you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking over in our garden area as well. But also I love that each and every week we partner with the Bible app, and you can follow us on the Bible app, and I want to show you how you can do that today. Once you download the Bible app from your favorite app store, you can open that up, and then you're going to click on the More tab. Now, once you click on the More tab, make sure you go to events and have your location services on. When you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see today is Joy to the World, and you're going to see all the scripture we're going to walk through, ways that you can connect with us throughout the week if we can serve you or pray for you, but more importantly, a place where you can take notes. So if you want to go ahead and get your Bible open to Luke 1 today, we're going to meet our first character and have our first word of Christmas. So Luke 1 and verse 26 says this, in the 6th month of Elizabeth Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So, really quick, Elizabeth and Zechariah are John the Baptist's parents. Short story long, what ends up happening is they were both old, but Zechariah is a smart man. So men, if you're in the room and you're married, just listen to how smart Zechariah is. When the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Your wife's going to have a child," he said, "How can that be? I'm old, and my wife is advanced in years." He made sure he didn't say old because he knew he didn't like sleeping outside with the shepherds, so he knew what to do. So Zechariah and Elizabeth are old, advanced in age, and they have John the Baptist after she had been told her whole life she couldn't conceive, and he was told that he would be preparing the way for Jesus. And so what's crazy is her cousin Mary is coming to visit her, who's about to give birth to Jesus, and so she goes to Elizabeth. So that's kind of where we are in this story. So Elizabeth is visited by Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Now, this is the angel to Mary. Circle that if you got your Bible. Favored. That's the word we're going to be going back to. "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Favor. So the first word that we're going to talk about of Christmas is favor, and it's spoken to Mary, the Christmas character Mary, probably the most famous Christmas character outside of Jesus is Mary. So Mary is told that she is favored by God. Now let me tell you why this is a word of Christmas. As I went through, I just asked Jesus for what to give me, and these are the words that popped up. So hopefully they'll speak to you. If not, you can go back and talk to Jesus about the words of Christmas for you. But this is what I will see with this 5-point star for me. So favor. The Greek word for favor, many of us know. We talked about the Greek word being last week, Greek, how it clearly communicated human thought, the most clearly communicating thought language that's ever been written. So for us, we have one word that means multiple things. To the Greeks, one word meant one thing. So the Greek word for favor is this, charis. We know people who are named charis. So if you want to know how to spell charis, do chairs, but flip the I and the R. C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. Charis. So the Greek word here that is written is Mary has found charis with God. Now let me tell you why that's important, because when we think favor, we say highly favored. Oh, that's special. That's a teacher's pet, ain't it? They're just favored. That's the favor. But the Greek word charis actually means the grace of God. So what Mary was receiving from God at that moment in time was the grace of God to know that she would have the Messiah. So many times in this time of year, I feel like sometimes our Christmases are wrought with trying to find our favorite thing, that we forget that the best thing we could ever receive is the unmerited grace of God. Mary is standing there, and she receives the grace of God. And so when I started thinking about this, and I started thinking about favor, I started thinking about so many times a favor means that there must be a favorite, right? So how many of us in our family are the favorite? I mean, we don't like raising our hands. I'm sure I am, right? So in that, how do our siblings feel about that? Pretty angry, right? They don't like to have favorites. As a matter of fact, when we think about favorites for all of us, I'm the baby in my family, so that's probably why I would consider myself the favorite. But when we look at favorites all the way through, sometimes that makes us jealous. But believe it or not, with God, because of his grace, all of us who are children of God, believe that Jesus is who he says he is, receive the free gift of salvation, all of us are his favorites. When I started thinking about that and I said, "Well, God, tell me how can I communicate this to everyone?" He said, "Well, Tyler, this is what I'll say. What's your favorite food?" And I was like, "Well, God, throw me some out there." And he was like, "Do you like Chinese?" Chinese is good. Chinese is my favorite. That's good. But he was like, "Macaroni and cheese. Like, that is your favorite." "Yes, I could tear up some macaroni and cheese. That's my favorite." And he said, "But what about banana pudding? Isn't that your favorite?" And I was like, "Man, that is my favorite." And God said, "I'm glad I got you here because you got a problem. See, that's why you got all these favorites that are rocking along. But what I thought about is that's all of us. At the potluck, you got to have a little bit of everything, right? Because it's your favorite. We're all God's favorite because he's given us his grace." So Mary, in this first word of Christmas, is experiencing God's grace, not just set apart. Now she's going to experience God's grace so that he can share it with the entire world. A little farther down, we can see Luke chapter 1, verse 39, talks about Mary and Elizabeth again. After Mary has encountered this meeting with an angel, remember, this is in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so she's entering into that third trimester. Mary has to go see Elizabeth. So at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to town in a hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home. Now remember, Zechariah is the smart husband who said, "My wife's advanced. She's not old, she's advanced." He's a smart man. He comes home and he greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this important? Remember, we just talked about God having 400 years of silence where the Spirit has not communicated through prophets. The people of God haven't heard from the Spirit of God. The people of God haven't heard anything from God. They're waiting for the Messiah. Now, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit is showing up. So she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, and here's the word, if you want to circle it, and we'll unpack it here in a second. She exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so," here's this word again, "favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The second word of Christmas today I want to share with you is blessed. Blessed. And it was spoken through Elizabeth. Blessed. So remember, favor is God's grace. The second one is blessed. Now, when we think blessed, we think good. When we think blessed, so many times we're like, "Oh, they're blessed." Now, that can mean many things to us. That could mean a house in the Hamptons. That could mean a house at Hilton Head. That could mean a boat. That could mean a lake house. That could mean a beach house. That could mean anything. If we think blessed, we have a different meaning of blessed. But when we really dive into what the Greek word here, I'm sharing with you the Greek because I'm just bringing the original text to you. So this is why I keep bringing you to the Greek word. The Greek word here for blessed is Makaria. Sounds like a movie franchise, doesn't it? Be a cool one, Makaria. I like that. Makaria. And how you spell that is M-A-K-A-R-I-A. M-A-K-A-R-I-A. Both times you see blessed here, this is what it's explaining when it talks about Elizabeth telling Mary she is blessed. And now Elizabeth has experienced God's grace after Mary experiences it. Here's what that means. Happy. She's well off. She's happy. Believe it or not, it's almost like it's flipped. We would think favor would be well off, but blessed, sometimes we think of it a different way. What ends up happening is this Greek word means happy. So Elizabeth is happy, therefore her child has joy and leaps with joy. So now all of a sudden the grace of God has gone from Mary. Now Elizabeth is happy. And what ends up happening for all of us that I wanted to pay attention to for all of us is verse 45 that I think is important. The reason that they are blessed, the reason that they are happy and well off is because they believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to both of them. Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy, and this child she never thought she could have is now about to be born. Mary now all of a sudden is a virgin, a teenager. She's not married. All of a sudden, these people are probably talking all kinds of trash about her. You know, if she was to come into a church, they would probably make sure she sat somewhere in the outskirts because she was embarrassed. She didn't know what was going on. She was afraid of what people would say. But instead, even through all of that, she followed through in obedience with it and trusted that what God said was going to happen. I wonder if that's where we are this Christmas. Do we feel blessed? If God's told us something that's going to happen this year, I wonder if we would trust that he is true to his word. Even if we don't see it this year or the next five, if he said he's going to do something, would we trust that he will? Because the reason that these two were blessed is because they believed that what God said would come to pass. Third word, continue into Luke 2, by the way. So I told you, we're blazing speed today. I love it. We're blazing speed today. Luke 2, if you want to flip the page in your Bible, we're going to start in verse 8. And now Mary has had Jesus in the manger because it was that easy. It was just a skip, right? Like anytime you've had a child, it was just a few verses. It was just that easy, right? I know better than that, for real. A newborn, we were talking about this earlier, how it's 70 degrees right now. Believe it or not, when Mary had Joseph, that's probably what it was a spring / summer weather. So imagine riding a donkey at 9 months pregnant all the way through and this scratchy hot weather. Bless is all I got to say. Blessed. bless her. That's all I got to say. So chapter 2, verse 8 picks up this third word of Christmas I want to share with you and the character that it came through. It says this, chapter 2, verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night." Now, this is one we know probably by heart. You're probably imagining it right now as I say it. You don't even have to look on the screen. "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Have you ever just been in God's presence so much that you were terrified? I've been there a few times. It's crazy that you would be terrified in his presence because you just know he's with you. I'm so thankful Jesus is there to give us, to allow us not to be. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause," here's the word, "great joy for all the people." So the third word that is shared here, we literally could say the angels and the shepherds, but the third word that is here is joy. The third word of Christmas is joy. So we've talked about favor. We've talked about being blessed. Now we're going to talk about this idea of joy, because remember just a moment ago, John the Baptist leapt with joy inside of Elizabeth when Mary came. Now all of a sudden we see again this joy is supposed to be for all people. So once again, I'm going to give you the Greek word. I know this isn't my normal rhythm or my normal cadence. That's okay. The Greek word for joy is chara. Sounds like a character in the Macaria franchise, right? Chara, or not churro. Don't get excited. I know that's what it is. I mean, you can still have Taco Tuesday on Christmas Eve this year, but not churro, chara, C-H-A-R-A. And now here's the crazy thing about what joy really means. We started with favor, meaning God's grace. We started with blessed, meaning happy, being well off, trusting in faith that God is who he says he is. Now we get to this thing called joy, and chara means awareness of God's grace. So now Mary experiences God's grace. She goes to Elizabeth, who says, man, because you trust God is who he says he is, you're going to be well off. You're going to see your life be fulfilled, be exactly who he created you to be. Now all of a sudden it takes this next step to joy being spread to all the nations. All of a sudden God's grace is recognized by all people for the first time. That's crazy. So when we say joy to the world, we talk about God's grace finally being recognized in the world. And it started making me think. For many of us, this thing called joy is a foreign concept. It's circumstantial, isn't it? We think our joy can only come when we're blessed, when we're well off. We only think our joy comes because of X, Y, and Z. And I want to tell you today that that's not what Christmas is about, just getting X, Y, and Z, is it? Because we've already received the gift of joy through Jesus Christ, who's already come to set us free. So all this chaos and noise that's going on, we don't have to have any of it because we have Jesus. Now, don't be a cheapskate. That don't mean don't go buy presents or anything. I'm just, don't give that to a friend. All you need is Jesus. Now, where's my gift? I get that. That's wrong. No, have the right heart. I think so many times our joy is robbed in this season because Satan knows when to attack. This time of year, more than ever, Satan's going to come after you. And here's how I know. Many of us right now have broken relationships in our home, in our marriage, in our friendships, in our finances. As a matter of fact, some of us just got the health diagnosis that says it's going to take a miracle for you to see next Christmas. Satan's coming after you. As a matter of fact, some of us are dealing probably with anger to the 10th degree because I just need to get a gift card, people. Do you have to stare at it? It's the same gift cards. You don't need to look at it for 30 minutes. Just pick one up. It says Amazon. They'll buy what they want, okay? Like, I just need to get a gift card. Your anger kicks in this time of year, and Satan will get a hold of you for that, and you'll lose and be robbed of your joy, right? But for many of us this year, we're maybe robbed of our joy because for the first time, there's an empty chair at the table and a place at the table, and the voice you thought you would hear for years to come, it's your first year that you're not going to hear it until eternity. Satan knows when to attack. That's why this time of year, the loneliness and depression is greater than ever. It's because it should be the most joy-filled time of the year. And I want to tell you kind of where we are as Christians. If you are in Christ, you have the ability to have joy in all circumstances. And what does that mean? What does it mean to have joy and be aware of God's grace in all circumstances? It means you can grieve and rejoice at the same time. You can do both. No, 2019 has been a crazy health year. I've not been afraid to share that. It's been a crazy health year for me. And I can tell you, as I went into surgery that I didn't want, and I tried to bargain with a doctor to not make me go under anesthesia. I've shared this before. I just said, hey, can you give me something local? I know you got to take my gallbladder out, but like they do this in third world countries all the time with nothing. I mean, you can do this, right? And he told me how crazy I was. And everybody said, well, look, you're going to be under. You're not going to feel any pain. And I said, I'd rather be awake feeling pain than being under and not wake up. Like, I went through all of that progression of fear, but I got to a place, and this is not like having Jesus Christ, so if you're a mother, I'm not trying to downgrade walking through pregnancy, but I got to a place to where I could understand where my joy came from, where I could understand in my life the awareness of God's grace, and I said this. I remember looking at my mom and my sister as I went into that surgery, and they said, it's going to be okay. You know, I could see the tears in their eyes, and it's breaking my heart because they're crying. Even though I'm the baby, I'm sensitive. So I'm trying to figure this out, and I could see the fear in their eyes a little bit. And I had just walked through it. And I remember telling them, no matter what, when I wake up, I'm either going to wake up in heaven or I'm going to wake up in the recovery room. But either way, I'm going to wake up and be better than how I came in here. And that's only by God's grace and being aware of his grace. So Christians, this time of year, what I want you to know is you can go in this season and leave it better than how you came in it because you're aware of his grace, which is why you can have joy in all seasons. No matter what, you can. So this year, I want you to experience God's favor and experience his grace. I want you to be blessed and know that he has made you well off. He's given you everything you need through Christ Jesus. But I want you to have joy and be aware of his grace. Let's get to the fourth word, and that's found in Luke 2, verse 25. Skip a little bit farther down. What happens is the shepherds go off. They share with everybody. They tell everybody that Jesus is here. Now, all of a sudden, it's time for Jesus to go to the temple. It's time for his bris. I know we're not Jewish, but it's time for his circumcision, all right? It's time for his bris. That's what the law calls for. So they go to his bris, and verse 25 picks up with this guy named Simeon, and it says this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Really quick, whether you know this or not, Simeon is a derivation of Simon, and we know a guy that followed Jesus named Simon. His name's Peter. Really cool how you can see the linkage here. But Simeon, who was righteous and devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit, once again, was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Time out here. If you ever have revelation, the Spirit's always involved, by the way. If you ever want to walk through that, anytime you experience the Holy Spirit, you will have revelation that what God said is going to come to pass will come to pass. Many times, I just want you to know, if you're filled with the Spirit, that's why that happens, and that's why the Spirit is moving here at Christmas time. He had heard by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, his bris, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, so we know he's blessed, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. That's the word we're about to talk about. Circle that, highlight that, whatever that looks like for you. Servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So let me tell you about Simeon. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the fourth word is peace, and it's spoken through this guy named Simeon. So the fourth word is peace. I'll tell you what that means in Greek here in a moment, but let me tell you about Simeon really quick. Simeon was 112 years old when this happened. We know historically he was 112 years old. So remember we said God was silent for 400 years. So for a quarter of that 400 years, Simeon was alive waiting for the Messiah to come. And on the flip side, could you imagine a medical procedure done by a 112-year-old man? Praise Jesus. I'm just glad for technology that doesn't happen now. But he's 112 years old when at just the right time, he happened to go for this bris. They could have had any other priest do it. As a matter of fact, Zechariah could have done it. But instead, it's Simeon that God said, hey, you're going to see the Messiah before you die. And you won't die until you do. Now, I can imagine he gets his 80th birthday, you know, and he's thinking, am I going to see the Messiah? His 90th birthday, I'm not going to get to see the Messiah. His 100th birthday, his sight's failing. You know, he's got a hurricane, whatever that is. He's got something going on. He's riding his jazzy or whatever they had, a camel, whatever they had back then. And he's thinking he's not going to see it. And all of a sudden, at just the right time, God calls him to go to the temple. And so now he has seen the Messiah. So this is why I'm sharing that with you. The Greek word for peace is eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E, eirene. The Greek word for peace is eirene. We're going to talk about both of those. The Hebrew word for peace, we hear it all the time, is shalom. You've heard that. Anytime you've heard anyone who's speaking at a Jewish gathering, most of the time is shalom, Shabbat shalom, talking about resting in the Lord, right? Like peace. Shalom is the Hebrew word. Eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E, is the Greek word. So I'm bringing it because this was written in Greek. The Greek word. So let me tell you what it means. Wholeness. That's why Simeon said in verse 29, you may now dismiss your servant in wholeness. Wholeness. Shalom is wholeness. Eirene is wholeness. Jesus came to make us whole. He is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of wholeness, to fulfill our desire, to fulfill everything we need. Our desires in this world can't be fulfilled by anything but him. He made us whole. And so when I want you to look at that word for us this year, this fourth word, when we sing of peace, sleep in heavenly peace, when we did Silent Night, when we walk through all these things, peace is wholeness. So this time of year, I want you to see the wholeness that Jesus brought. Maybe you're frustrated because you think you can't buy gifts for your kids, or you can't buy gifts for this, or you can't do for this. I just want to tell you this. Those kids aren't going to remember that. They're going to remember your heart for them, though. I can remember my Christmases, and I can tell you, we weren't rich, but I can tell you what, I had a roof over my head. I had power on. I had hot running water to take a shower. In the end, I had what I needed. I wasn't worried about that. So this year, maybe you're worried about your peace, and you're struggling right now because you're probably like me, and you're looking at this list of things to buy, and you're thinking all these people need all these things. And I'm telling you, they don't need anything but your love. You have the wholeness that is Jesus, and you want to love them well, share Jesus with them. They'll have all they need. Don't be cheap, though. Don't expect something back from them. I shared Jesus with you. Now take me out to dinner, right? Like that's absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong. So I want you to know today that Jesus is your peace. He makes us whole. So today, that fourth thing is he makes us whole. So that means we can have joy in all circumstances. We can have peace in all circumstances and all seasons too. This peace wasn't just given just for Christmas. It was given for all nations, for all times. Because we talk about Jesus being a light to the Gentiles and the glory for all people, for Israel. Let's go to this last word, and then we'll get ready for communion in just a little bit. And it's found in Luke 2, verse 36 through 38. Luke 2, verse 36 through 38. And I want you to pay attention to this because I'm just going to say, in the world that we live in, many people talk about women in the church. I just want to remind you that Jesus came to die for all. And I want you to see the name of this prophet and who it is. There was also a prophet, Anna. So women can serve in the church and women can share the word of God. Just putting it out there. I know we don't like hearing that in this world, but I'm telling you, it can happen. There are women that can hold this microphone and preach me down, son. I'm so thankful that Jesus has them here. So before we get into that, I just want to show you that even at Christmas, Jesus is showing that he died for all and that all could be an instrument of him. He goes to Anna, the daughter of Peniel. Now, really quick, before we move on, Peniel. Now, we've talked about this place called Peniel when we studied about Jacob. If you ever remember, here's how I know you know. That WWE match that Jacob had with God, like you remember he was wrestling with him and God touched his hip. He like put him in the scorpion deathlock and hurt his hip and he had to walk with a limp the rest of his life because of that struggle with God. That was at Peniel. That is a derivation of Peniel, and Peniel means the face of God. Remember, he saw the face of God. So Anna is the daughter of the face of God. How crazy awesome is that? Of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. Now, Luke is not a good man. When he wrote this, he didn't say advanced. He said she was very old. We'll do the math here in a second. But Luke said she's very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and was a widow until she was 84. Now, if you look in your footnote, believe it or not, I don't like to teach from footnotes. I've told you this before, but if you were looking at the King James or the New King James, it actually says she was in the temple for 84 years. So she was in the temple doing this for 84 years. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. So let's do some quick math about how old she is, okay? So at that time frame, women were married anywhere from 14 to 16 years old. That was just the norm. That's what ended up happening. So let's say she was married at 16, a late bloomer. Please don't get married at 16. A late bloomer in that time. So she's 23 when her husband passes away. Then she's in the temple for 84 years. So remember, Simeon's 112, Anna's 107. If she was married at 14, then Anna's 105. So these two people that were around for a quarter of the silent years of God now get to see the Messiah before they pass away. One is a widow, and one is an old man who's performing a medical procedure that, bless. So that being said, like, both of these people are there, and we look, and they're very old apparently. So when we look, we can see that both of these people, what God said would happen, came to pass. I want you to trust that today. If God's told you something, trust that it's going to come to pass. Verse 38 says, coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God. So once again, Simeon runs into Jesus in the temple. Anna runs in at just the very moment into Jesus at the temple. And she gave thanks to God and spoke to the child that all who were looking forward, this is the last word of Christmas, redemption of Jerusalem. She spoke to all about the child who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now see, we just went through five words of Christmas, and I hope you remember those words. If you don't, that's okay. I believe Jesus will remind you if you have a relationship with him, that's fine. But I want you to see the most important word is there, redemption. Now, the Greek word for redemption, I told you we're going to get a lot of Greek, so we're going to translate it over, and I want to tell you what it means, is lutrosis. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Sounds like they were in a gladiator film. Well, guess what? It was Roman times. That's probably a name. Lutrosis, and you spell it L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. Lutrosis. And now let me tell you what it means. It means to pay a ransom. So she told everyone about the lutrosis of Jerusalem, about the lutrosis of all people to pay a ransom. See, what happened in that moment in time is kind of foreign to us as something that we fight all the time. But believe it or not, in Greek times, what would happen is someone would go down to the slave market, and these slaves were either sold into slavery or someone could pay a ransom to set them free. You either paid for the slave to come home with you and work for you until their time was done, or someone could pay a fee, a ransom, and set them free. As a matter of fact, when we think about redemption, I thought about this. I said, well, what's an earlier thing? Kind of earlier. I'm gonna sound older than I probably am. But back in the day, you used to get a redemption book when you paid your car payment. You remember, you would pull that out. Or when you would pay your mortgage, you would have a redemption. They called it a token, even though it was like a receipt. A redemption thing that you would use. You would tear that. Something, a redemption book, so that you could buy back what was yours. So what happened is somebody had to pay a ransom for that. And so what Anna is talking about here that's so important is the redemption of the world, the lutrosis, to pay a ransom for. What it literally means, to be honest with you, when you talk about the slave market, is it means buying back what was already yours. So you would go and get a slave somewhere and you would bring them to the market, sell them, get your price, and sold them into slavery. Or you would pay a price to set them free. See, Christmas came so that the price could be paid to set us free. Now, I know that we know that if we're in Christ Jesus, but my question is, are we living it? Because those other four words don't matter. Knowing God's grace don't matter. Being well off doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, being aware of God's grace doesn't matter. When we were looking back in our life, if we were to take and talk about being whole, it doesn't matter if we don't first realize that we've been redeemed. We've been paid back. There's a ransom paid for us. We've been bought back. As a matter of fact, we talk about this. Maybe it's the first time you're hearing this, so I don't want to assume that it is. But Jesus walked around called Yeshua. We've shared this, which means the deliverer, or God saves, the Savior. He walked around as Yeshua. That was his name, which is a derivation of Joshua. But what ends up happening, I want you to be reminded, we talked about Christmas starting in Genesis 3 last year. What happened is God created the heavens and the earth. And for the first two chapters of Genesis, all is blissful and happy. Everything's good. Then all of a sudden, man and woman decide, I got some free will. And that apple or whatever in the world it was, that navel orange, I guess that's sold most of the time, the grapefruit on that tree looked so good, they had to have it. And because of their free will, they took it and they ate of it. Even though God said, hey, you can have everything else in the world, everything your eye can see, just don't mess with that tree. And so they messed with that tree. And they found that out. And because of that, what ended up happening is we call that sin because they were in disobedience to God. And a price had to be paid for that sin. A ransom had to be paid for that sin. And the price of that sin was death. Because we were sinners, we were dead. So what ended up happening is all of us were born into this thing called sin that leads to death. So God created us, but now all of a sudden there's this chasm between us and him because death is the price that has to be paid for our sins. But Jesus said, God, instead of them dying, what if I die for them and I pay the ransom and I pay the price for their sins and redeem them so that way they can be back to what they were supposed to be with the Creator. And what Christmas is about is that. And the thing is, all of us are standing here, all of us are walking through this, and maybe we look and see this and we don't know what's happening, and we say, well, why would Jesus do such a thing? Because of God's unmerited favor and grace, his mercy, his grace, and his love. He loves us enough that he would do that. It's that simple. So many times you might have grown up in church and some man screamed at you with something and told you were going to hell if you didn't give your life to Jesus. Well, I'm not the person that would scare the hell out of you. I'm just the person that's going to tell you the truth. I'm telling you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're dead in your sins and you have no hope. And maybe the reason this year that you're struggling is your hope is in the wrong thing. Because so many of us put our hope in these characters, don't we? As a matter of fact, I shared with some folks really quick, one of my favorite movies is Christmas Vacation this time of year. I was going to dress as Cousin Eddie, but I'll spare all of you those details. Me in a bathrobe and a bomber hat could have led to some terrible things, so I didn't do that. But I am sporting Christmas Vacation. And I started thinking, sometimes this time of year we put our hope in a character, don't we? As a matter of fact, at Christmas we put our hope in a character. We were promised a puppy, right? And we come downstairs, or we come and look under the tree, and instead of getting a puppy, we open it up, and it's a chemistry set. Many of us are like, is this all there is? Is this what Christmas is all about? Is this all there is, a chemistry set? Can I make a puppy with it? No, I wanted a puppy. There's a puppy. There's something more that we put our hope in. And this time of year, many of us put our hope in the presents, put our hope in the Christmas character, put our hope in the movies, the parties, all of the things that we have to go through, instead of just putting our hope in the one thing that can redeem us. And so this year, as we get ready to close, and then we'll have communion here in a second, I just want to ask you this. Simeon found his peace and his wholeness when he found Jesus. And if you remember correctly, he said in verse 30, he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. And right now, I just want to say this. None of us could earn our way to heaven. None of us could work our way to heaven. None of us could ever be good enough. As a matter of fact, from the moment all of us were born, but myself included, we were born into sin. We could never, from that first moment we cried to bug the turd out of our parents, for lack of a better term, that we were crying and fussy because we needed to be fed and our needs were more important than our parents' sleep, we were in sin. And none of us could ever earn our way out of this sin. But God loved us enough that he sent his son to live the perfect life for our sin, pay the price for our sin by dying on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we can experience heaven and experience it now. We don't have to wait. We can be exactly who we were created to be now. We don't have to wait till eternity till it gets better. We can experience heaven now. But the thing is, we just have to receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus brings. That's why Simeon said, I have seen your salvation. So my question for you this year, as you've heard of a lot of Christmas characters, you're going to celebrate a lot of Christmas characters, but will you look at the one thing that matters at Christmas, and that's the Savior of the world, and what are you going to do with him? Are you going to leave him in that manger and think that that's what it all is a baby in a manger, and Santa Claus is going to come, and that's all that matters because he's going to come, and he's going to give me everything I want, and then you ask for a puppy, and the chemistry set showed up, and you don't know what in the world to do, and your hopes and dreams are dashed? Are you going to trust that that baby in that manger came to live that life and die on that cross for me and you? So right now, with every head bow and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, have you ever given your life to Jesus? The reason we celebrate this season is because of Jesus. The only reason we get to celebrate Christmas is because of him, but it's because he came and lived that life we couldn't live, died that death we deserve on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day. All we have to do is receive him at his word. We have to believe what he said will come to pass. We have to believe that he is who he says he is. And so right now there is a gift that is sitting in front of you, and it's a free gift, and it is the free gift of salvation. All you got to do is receive it. And I want to help you because someone had to help me receive it. You see, we're about to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that gets you saved. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're about to say a prayer out loud. And everyone's going to repeat after me. And we do it for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ for the first time. So everyone, please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And if that's you right now, for the first time, you can say you've received the free gift of salvation. We have folks who want to celebrate with you because this is going to be the best Christmas that you can ever have, the best Christmas gift that you can ever have. We have people who want to walk with you and talk with you that this is just the starting block, not the finish line. If you have received Jesus for the first time, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. One, two, three. Would you respond by raising your hand if that's you? Would you put your hand in the air if that's you? Would you, hey, if you're watching online, there's going to be a hand that's raised. Would you click that? If you're watching on Facebook or you're listening to podcasts throughout the week, would you leave a comment? Or, hey, even reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698 is the number to our church. We have people who would love to pray with you. And for everyone else, we're about to, you can go ahead and look up. I'm so thankful we get to be here today because we're about to celebrate communion. Now, really quickly, we'll have this, and then we're going to have some worship, and we're going to have an awesome and a very Merry Christmas. You see, communion isn't something we do often here at the Vine Church. As a matter of fact, it's kind of weird, I know, for a lot of folks. And you say, well, why in the world would you do communion at Christmas? Well, you see, the thing is, communion, we know, was a Passover Seder when Jesus was here before he went to the cross. And so communion and Christmas are so intertwined, we may not even realize it. You see, communion without Christmas, without Christ's birth, is a Passover Seder hoping for a Messiah that hasn't yet come. Hoping for something. Hoping for a Passover lamb that we don't have to sacrifice every year. Hoping that we don't have to get it all right. Hoping for a Day of Atonement that doesn't have to be done every year. Hoping. It's just a meal where we celebrate God's faithfulness, but we're looking to something that has yet to arrive. And Christmas without communion is just a show of our greed. It's about all the packages. It's about the Christmas tree. As a matter of fact, Christmas is just a holiday. And when Christmas December 25th is over, the 26th happens, and we go, is it Boxing Day? Like, we just look for something else different. It's hopeless. But you see, we can't celebrate communion if there's first not Christmas. Because communion looks forward to Jesus' second coming as much as it did to his birth. And so today, the reason we're celebrating communion is we're about to have communion here. We're going to pass out the elements, but the bread represents Jesus' body. He's about to tell us, this bread represents my body. And this wine, we don't have wine, so sorry for those who came that were looking for wine at church today. We have juice that represents the blood and the covenant that Jesus has made. But more importantly, we're going to read this from Corinthians here in a moment. We're supposed to celebrate this until he comes back. Joy to the world. We got to have joy to the world until he comes back. We got to share his joy with the world until he comes back. So the reason that we're celebrating communion today is, yes, we're going to celebrate communion at Easter. Absolutely, because it's during the Passover. And that's when you're supposed to. But understand that the Passover is just the Passover if Christmas doesn't happen. So Christmas and communion are tied together. So today we're about to pass out the elements in just a moment. I'm going to have Tracy come up with me and he's going to help me pass all of these out. Just take one. And here's the thing. This is for those who are in Christ. Don't be embarrassed if you're not and you take it and you're like, oh my goodness, people are watching me. What are they going to do? Seriously, I'm not going to be a person. I'm not going to read everything Paul says about everything that's going to happen to you. I'm just going to say this. Take a moment to reflect. I'm going to pray before we take this. Just get right with Jesus for a moment and say thank you. Hey, Jesus, if there's anything inside of me that I need to let go, I want to let this go before I'm reminded of what you have done for me when I take this bread and juice, okay? That's all I'm going to throw out there. So we're going to pass out the elements for a moment. I'm going to pray. We're going to read Corinthians. We're going to take it, and then we're going to have some awesome worship, okay? So Tracy, if you want to come up, we're going to pass these out to everyone. And if you just take one and pass it around. I know it's not super formal. Y'all know that's how I roll as I come off the camera angle and talk and everybody looks at me really hard. And if you'll pass it around your section, the good part is they're together because I couldn't do bread and juice separate because I'll spill it and I'll probably still spill this. So y'all get ready for that as we pass those around. Okay, if you want to, you can go ahead and open this up, get the bread out and the juice out, because I'm probably going to spill it everywhere, as I always do. It's two folds. I had to find this out last year. Don't get upset with me. And if you're struggling with it, know that I do too. So I'm advanced. Actually, I'm just old. It's okay. I'm not worried about that. So we're about to read from Corinthians, and we're about to take this. So what ends up happening is in 1 Corinthians 11, this is when the Lord's Supper was instituted. But it talks about what happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And we're going to pick up in verse 24, but it starts in verse 23. And it says, he took the bread, and verse 24 picks up. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, before we take this, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll take this together, okay? So let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you right now that you have come so that we can have communion. We can have a relationship with you. I'm so thankful that you are here because you came. We have a place at the table. It's not just a meal. It's something that we get to celebrate for eternity with you, where we get to be exactly who you created us to be. So I just pray right now, if there's anything within us that we need to confess, if there's anything in us that we need to lay at your feet, that in this moment and in the sound of my voice, that we would lay it at your feet and that we would be reminded of your grace. We would be reminded of how much joy you bring us, how you make us whole, how you make us aware of your grace, how you have given us so much, Jesus, how in you we have redemption. So right now, as we take this bread and we take this juice, I just pray that we would be reminded of the covenant that you have made with us until you return again. We love you, Lord. All right. If you got your trash, you can set it on the floor. We'll get it at the end. But what's about to happen is we're about to get ready to worship here in a moment. It's going to take us just a minute to get there. But I just want to say in this moment, maybe you took your first communion. You just gave your life to Jesus and you still have questions. I don't want you to have questions this year. Once again, please reach out to us. Reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. Reach out to us at 864-580-6698. We have folks who want to pray with you. As a matter of fact, we have folks who literally take online prayer requests all throughout the week and pray with folks as soon as they come in. Maybe communion's not your thing, but you're struggling with loneliness. You feel like your joy is lost this year. Maybe you're experienced loss, and it's the first Christmas that there's an empty chair at the table, and you just need someone to talk to. Please reach out to us. Once again, the way that you can do that is prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. Now let's prepare our hearts for worship, if you'll stand up.
Joy to the world. to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven
continue to worship with us this morning. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Jesus is born, everybody. I want us to go out into the community and spread the word that He is alive.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Sing it with me. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Thank you.
All right. So we got our second message. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. For real, let's lock it up and get ready to pray, and let's go about our day and share all of Jesus's hope with the world. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we get to celebrate what your birth represents. It's not just a time where we get to have presents. So many times we look for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that we miss out that the Savior is there. So Jesus, I pray as we go about our week, whenever the Satan tries to kick us while we're down, whenever Satan comes at us and brings fear upon us, let us instead just rest in you and see you in a fresh new way this year. Jesus, remind us that because we have you in us, we get to be light in a dark, dark world. So I pray across this room and whoever can hear my voice on the other side of the stream here, I just pray that you would fill them and they would fill you with them as sure as you're here in this house right now. And Lord, I pray that this Christmas would be the best Christmas yet, but we would look forward that next Christmas is going to be even better. You know how we know that? Because we get to celebrate Christmas every day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sharing your joy with the Lord and sharing it with us. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. So really quick, we're about to get ready to go. Just a reminder, next week we won't be meeting. We will have service online. We got the message ready. It's going to launch us into 2020, but also we're going to come back here on January 5th with a new series called Chasing Carrots. Have an awesome week. We love you guys. Remember, the best is still yet to come.